It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy to be rolling through a Wednesday with y'all here. Mike Shope is out sick today. I am the Bulldog. And we are about to do something, I think, in almost 30 years of doing this gig. I don't think I've ever had the pleasure of previewing the coming week's Bills opponent with a reporter and media personality who is at a ballpark watching a wild card Major League Baseball playoff game. But we are about to do that. Will Kunkel from Fox 26 in Houston joins us to talk about the Texans and the Bills on Sunday. But he is in downtown Houston watching the Astros and the Tigers in a scoreless tie in the fifth inning. Will, good balancing act. How's it going?
Good, man. How fitting that I'm in the hometown of Simone Biles as we do both of these right now and try to figure it all out.
Very nice. Balance beam and gymnastics all in one. We've got it all for you here. So, you know, with that in mind, like I'm here to talk to you about the Texans. You're watching the Astros and the Tigers. I've never asked someone from Houston, like, who rules the town? Or does everybody take turns? Like, you know, we're here in Buffalo, much smaller market. We've got the Bills, we've got the Sabres in the NHL. And, of course, you know, the NFL sort of just rules and lords over everything. What kind of town is Houston? Is Houston an Astros town, or is it, like, all Texans all the time?
It's an Astros town the last 7 years, and everyone else has politely bowed out of the way into irrelevancy. And now the Texans are back, so now it seems like they're king, while the fans are kind of spoiled. I don't want to say bored, but they're spoiled with what the Astros have accomplished, because there are thousands of empty seats here at Minute Maid Park today, unfortunately. And I know it's a day game. I know it's a weekday and all that, but if you wanted to be here, you could be here. It just isn't worth it in a wild card for a lot of these guys, it seems like, right now. So Texans are king. NFL's king. At least right now.
Yeah. I did see you tweeting earlier today about how cheap tickets were, so not surprised to hear. Yeah, that happens. Atlanta went through that in the mid to late 90s when they were great. I remember watching, you know, divisional round games with them, being like, wow, nobody's – what are we doing here? It happens. You know, the Bills, quite famously, in the midst of a four straight Super Bowl run, I know we're talking like eras ago now, right, back in the 90s, did not sell out that wild card playoff game. The greatest comeback ever was not a sellout. Wasn't on TV locally against the Oilers. So fan bases can get, you know, just sort of fickle, you know, if you don't if you win or if you don't win even.
Yeah, it's a hassle. Like, it's not easy to park and through traffic, cost a fortune, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, right. There's always a lot of things. And now that everyone's spending their money on the Texans, especially with the Bills coming to town.
Right. And their new Stephon Diggs jerseys. How is that going? How is Diggs assimilated into life as a Houston Texan, in your view, Will?
Listen, it's been, what are we, week four? So it's been 3 weeks. No, it's been 4 weeks. So we're into week five. It's early, but so far, so good. There have been no problems. And I'm sure there was a point like that for him in Buffalo. And I don't know what was reality versus what was perceived with the issues up there. And same thing with Minnesota, because he wears his emotions on his sleeve. So when he's caught on camera being demonstrative, fans are going to take that however they want to take it. And after a while, if it grows stale with him, with the fans, then it's going to be taken negatively. So far, so good. Let's get through a whole season, and then I'll really, truly be able to answer that honestly. But I can just say, from my interactions with him and my conversations with him, he's been respectful. He's talked. For the most part, he's admitted he doesn't like talking to the media, but he'll do it from time to time. But when he does do it, he gives good, thoughtful answers, which is all you can ask for.
I'll bet. I mean, recent history notwithstanding, I'm betting our audience here in Buffalo isn't surprised to hear that, because when Diggs got here, and really, honestly, Will, but just between us, nobody's really listening, it wasn't that rocky here. I mean, it got a little weird last spring, but, you know, to me, it wasn't like there was always, like, dissension and drama. Like, there were moments, and it could get fatiguing, but to me, it was 100% worth it. So I'm not surprised to hear that it's going well, and I would expect it to go well for a while there. I mean, he'll probably sour at some point, but for now, probably all good. On the field, how is How's that going? Like, is he mattering for them in that offense? Because we know, you know, the curiosity for Bills fans was, if this guy wants targets and is getting sort of phased out here, well, he's going to a team with Tank Dell and Nico Collins kind of ahead of him on the pecking order. How's that going so far?
Well, early on week one, he was certainly the number one guy. I think he had six catches. He only had 33 yards, but he had two touchdowns. And then Nico Collins the last couple weeks has been the clear number one. Tank missed last week. I reported earlier this week he expects to play, and he did practice this week. So hopefully for the Texans, they have all three of those receivers along with Joe Mixon, but he did not practice today, at least from the last reports that I saw. I wasn't at practice due to the fact the baseball game was going on. But he's been huge for CJ. He hasn't been a big hitter, but he has had, three touchdowns so far in the young season. And he's had critical plays to move the chains. So he's been very big, but he hasn't been explosive like Nico Collins. And we kind of knew that was going to happen coming into the year. Like, someone was going to be the touchdown guy. Someone was going to be the volume guy. Someone was going to be the yards guy. And so far, it's kind of shaken out in that way.
I liked the fit right away there, despite how I phrased that earlier query about Collins and Dell sort of, you know, maybe outranking him, at least there for now. But where he's at in his career, Diggs, I thought if he's like a move the chains, even like a slot guy a decent amount of the time, I feel like that might be where he's at in his career. I don't know if he would agree with that, but I feel like there's still, he could extend his career by becoming a very valuable player, I think, between the hashes.
Yeah, I think where he is, he's still got a lot of meat left on that bone. He's certainly on the back half of his career, but with that being said, he's plenty good to provide plenty for a team where he can be wide receiver 1, 2, or 3 on a given week. He doesn't have to go out there and have 12 and 100 and a touchdown every single week. He can go out there and play a role, and he can be put in the slot too and get a whole bunch of catches and just be smart with his body as well to save him for later in the season. He hasn't had a whole lot of injury issues, but the point is He doesn't have to be the workhorse every single week.
Will Kunkel, Fox 26 in Houston, host of Kicking It with Kunkel. I got that off your Twitter bio. My guest here on the West Hare Hotline. Glad to be kicking it with Kunkel here in Buffalo. Will, we really appreciate your time.
Appreciate it.
How about the 1,000-foot view right now of this team going into year two with Stroud? I mean, it was obviously a breakthrough, a playoff game win, and Stroud, you know, just rookie of the year on offense, just a tremendous arrival for him. How would you say expectations are going in? And I mean, I guess at 3-1, they're being met, likely, I would think.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when you can always look at a team from afar and see what their record is. Oh, 3-1. Damn, that's a good team. And the Texans are, but there's a lot of stink being covered up with that 3-1 record right now. Like, that deodorant is working at that overtime because of the pre-snap penalties. They've had back-to-back-to-back weeks with double-digit penalties. The offense just hasn't clicked. The second half against the Jaguars, they had 6 possessions. They punted the first 5. And on the final possession, they marched down the field and they scored a touchdown. Those first 5 possessions, they had 75 yards. That final possession, they had 69 yards. Like, that's not what we're expecting from this offense. I don't think any one of us expected the loss of Joe Mixon to hit them so badly. The offensive line is having trouble moving bodies. They're not protecting C.J. Stroud well. So there's a lot that goes into that 3-1 record than what really meets the eye, unfortunately, right now. But the defense has been kicking butt. They're getting the quarterback and applying pressure at some of the best clip in the NFL. So they're playing complementary football in the manner of the defense is helping the offense right now.
Yeah, I did not sit with this Houston-Jacksonville game on Sunday. I was kind of in and out of it, but it felt like what I saw of it, I've said it this way a couple of times already here on our show, Will, it felt like Houston was like begging to get beat there, and Jacksonville just could not close the deal.
Trevor Lawrence is not good. I mean, right. That's a shocking thing to say because he misses throw. He missed 2 touchdown throws to guys that were wide open. I mean, yawning open, and he missed them. So the Texans should have lost that game, but that's how a season goes in the NFL. It's a game of inches, as the phrase goes, and you need things to kind of break your way to end up with 12 wins. I was doing a little study of this before the season, and the average Super Bowl winner – the Super Bowl winner has an average of 12 wins in the last, like, 10 years. So you don't get 12 wins just by beating the hell out of everybody. You get some things that fall your way. And, you know, right now, 3-1, 3-1.
Right, yeah. We're in the same boat over here. I mean, the Bills have looked more dominant in two of their three wins, and obviously, but got completely taken to the woodshed last Sunday night in Baltimore. In your view, Will, I think our people listening in Buffalo will be very interested in your opinion on this, because we watched Derrick Henry and Patrick Ricard just, like, blow holes in the Bills' defense on Sunday night to the tune of 270-some yards rushing. And we know Joe Mixon is there and got fed in week one. To, you know, with a load of carries and three touchdowns, offensive player of the week in week one. He's missed a couple games now. Are the Texans, with or without Mixon, I would imagine it's vastly different with him than without him, are they capable of dominating a game on the ground at this point or not?
Hell no. They haven't done it in years. They can't run the ball. Like, that was my red flag for the Texans coming into the season. Could they run the ball? And some of the guys that I had on my show were like, what, really? Like, that's your word? I was like, yeah, dude. Like, they haven't done it in years. What says they're going to do it now? And now without Joe Mixon, Cam Akers is a nice cutback type of running back, but he's not a bell cow. J.J. Taylor isn't really even an NFL caliber running back. Dare Gumbawale certainly isn't a bell cow. Damian Pierce is also out, and he didn't have a good year last year. So they're on their third, fourth, fifth string type of running back, so they're not going to just line up and run it down your throat no matter who's behind CJ.
Yeah, obviously Stroud in the passing game has been the meal ticket with his breakthrough last year. How much do you think he's learned from year one to year two? Does he seem different at all to you moving from, you know, a breakthrough rookie season into, you know, an expectation-laden second season?
So from a personality standpoint, no, I think he's opened up a little bit more and allowed to show a little bit more comfortable showing some of his humor with us. He's got such a strong faith. That's where he leans and where he falls back on as a person. And then as a player, I think he's more comfortable in moving the pocket to how he sees fit. Like, if the pocket starts to collapse one way, he can kind of make it a little bit more malleable or escape the pocket. He's using his legs a little bit more. Joe Mixon actually challenged him to use his legs more this season. And unfortunately, he's had to just to stay alive. So he's more of a scrambler than a runner, like kind of like Steve Young, Burt, Mark Brunell were back in the day. Like, they'll keep plays alive, but they're always looking to pass. So I think those are the two biggest differences so far.
Will Kunkel from Fox 26 in Houston on the Western Hotline with us for a few more minutes, previewing the Texans and the Bills Sunday at 1 o'clock from Houston. You mentioned the pass rush. And when I've sat with the Texans so far this year, again, for all the attention the offense gets, and of course in Buffalo we're focused on Diggs and what he means to that passing game, boy, the ends there with Hunter and Anderson have really, really stood out to me.
Absolute dogs. Like, those guys create pressure. They create hell, even if they don't get to the quarterback. And oftentimes they don't get to the quarterback, but the quarterback's got to step up and the defensive tackles get some credit. Tim Settle had 2 sacks a couple of weeks ago. I think it's his first career sack in his career, at least double sack game in his career. So that's the type of defensive line that you're working with. And then the linebackers have been better than we thought coming into the year. And the secondary is pretty dang good. They've had some blown coverages with some rookies back there with Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter. But other than that, I think the defense really bowed up against the Jaguars when they had to and made some big-time plays.
Yeah, like how do the Bills want to attack the Texans? Like, where's the weakness there?
I think crossing routes over the middle. I think the ability of Josh Allen to just be that dude. Like, that guy can extend plays and get outside the pocket. That's the toughest thing for any defense to stop, is a quarterback that can ad-lib, because you can't plan for an ad-lib. You can plan for a style of play of deep balls or intermediate passes or a running game. You can scheme to stop that, but something that's not planable is an ad-lib. It's like when the prompter goes off, man, who knows what the hell I'm going to say on air. Like, get ready, director, to figure it out, because that's kind of how Josh Allen plays.
Yeah. One last thing for you. I'm curious about the coaching staff here. We've got kind of a similar situation in Buffalo here. I mean, McDermott's been here. It's his 8th season now. But defensive-minded coach, and similar in Houston with DeMeco Ryans taking over. Bobby Slowick staying put, like how big a deal was that, and how our fans already kind of wringing their hands because we've been through it here already with Brian Daboll rolled out the door, Dorsey didn't work, we're on to a third guy here in Allen's prime now with Joe Brady. Must be like counting your blessings if you're in Houston that Slowick did not leave this offseason.
A huge blessing to keep Slow, and not only because he's good, but because when you don't have to change your coordinator every year, you don't have to waste your time in the offseason figuring out a new system, figuring out new terminology, getting to know each other, building that trust. Like, the trust is an underrated aspect between an offensive coordinator and a quarterback, because a quarterback could tell the offensive coordinator he's wrong if there's trust, but not be taken personally, or vice versa. You can get coached up because there's trust and there's love and there's a relationship there. And if you can't do that, or you have to, like, reestablish that with somebody, and God forbid it doesn't work, like, good luck, then you got to start over again the next year. So to keep Slow and have that relationship between the two of them, that offense, it's so critical. And you see that with the best teams throughout the NFL or all throughout sports. So the most continuity at the top have the most success year in and year out.
Does it feel like it's borrowed time, though? I mentioned the Daboll thing. After maybe Allen's second or third year, I got to get the timeline right, but there was a year where we were convinced, oh, Daboll is going to get interviews, he's leaving. And then he didn't, and he stayed one more year and then eventually went off to the Giants. I'm wondering if fans in Houston and maybe even the organization are bracing for Slowick to, you know, well, he stayed behind one extra year, but now, you know, somebody's calling with a huge contract to be a head coach.
You know, DeMeco gave him some really good advice that he shared with us, and that don't take a head coaching job just because it's available. You're not that guy. Like, you're going to get another opportunity when you want to call your shot. So make sure that it's the right fit for you. But I think the expectation is Slowick is going to leave here. It's just a matter of when he accepts that job. But the good news is that the quarterback's coach, Gerard Johnson, is in line for an offensive coordinator position. Mm-hmm. He and CJ have a very good relationship. So if Slowick does leave, Gerard can seemingly step right into that role, implement his style as well, but already have that relationship built in with CJ and the rest of the coaching staff and the guys around the roster too.
Excellent. What about the division? Is this just look? You just saw Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Tennessee, sort of in the weeds here. I don't know. Is it like a slow, steady crawl toward another division championship here for this team? It seems like the division is pretty weak.
It should be. I mean, despite all the hype around Anthony Richardson, I talked with someone that told me they're glad he's in the division. And you look at him, like, he's not able to stay healthy. He's not a very good quarterback. He's not going to beat you with his arm on 35 throws a game. Like, he can beat you on a throw or two, but he's not going to do it over the course of the game. Trevor Lawrence apparently isn't very good. That team stinks. Doug Peterson's just keeping his head above water right now. And then you see Will Levis, which is Saturday Night Live every Sunday morning. It's just absolutely hilarious to watch, bro. Yeah, division stinks. I mean, it's kind of like the Astros, right? Like, the Astros weren't a great baseball team this year, but they won a bad division. That's all you got to do, and here you are.
The Peterson thing, like, you know, the thing about, we, you know, the players got to, you know, make the plays or whatever the hell he said after that loss in Houston is just, dude, you're going down.
You're right, but yeah. Dude, keep it off the podium, my man.
right. That's the quiet part you don't say out loud, dude.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when your team is sitting at 0-4. Oh, good Lord. All right, Will. Thank you. Any questions for me? Anything you need to know about the Bills as they get ready to travel to Houston?
How banged up are you boys? It sounds like you guys are knocked around right now.
Yeah, there's they've been thin with some injuries on defense in particular. I mean, Milano, we knew in the summer, obviously went on IR, and he's hoping to come back at some point much later in the season. Then Terrell Bernard goes down. They're on backup safeties, and the nickel corner is the big one. Taron Johnson, their fantastic nickel corner, returned today in a non-contact jersey. He's got a big wrap on a fracture in his forearm. I'm not optimistic he plays. I think they'll get Bernard, their middle linebacker, back for this game, and they certainly missed him. I don't know how much of a difference he makes on Sunday night in Baltimore against Derrick Henry, but he's an excellent player, and I think they should welcome him back. But yeah, they've been dinged on defense, and it finally, you know, one of the stories this week here in town, Will, has been it finally caught up to him.
Yeah, and if the Texans have all three wide receivers, you not having your nickel could be a huge loss particularly this week.
Yeah, big time. All right, Will, thanks a lot for the time. We appreciate you paying attention to us and the Texans while watching an American League wild card playoff game, man. Thanks a lot for the time. Good luck with your kicking it with Kunkel and everything else you got going on.
Thanks, Bulldog. Appreciate you, bro.
All right. Will Kunkel, Fox 26 in Houston. Yeah, kicking it with Kunkel. Go check it out. Go find him on Twitter and see what's what there. That very good attention to our conversation by Will. The Tigers have taken the lead. In the, like halfway through that conversation, there was a solo home run by Detroit. And this is a wild card round, so it's, you know, a win and go home here, or well, a loss, excuse me, and go home for Houston. And this guy didn't even, you know, nothing. I was half expecting like a, I gotta go. Something happened in the game. Deal there. Anyway, good deal on that. And yeah, the coordinator staying behind feels a lot like Daboll that year that he didn't leave and then eventually left. I mean, I would expect someone to come calling with a wheelbarrow full of cash for Bobby Slowick. They've had somewhat success on offense so far with him as their play caller. All right. Time for you again now. You want to refire the conversation about the Bills and Devontae Adams and the first great experiment of Allen's career here with this receiving core. We know Adams wants to be traded. We know the Raiders are interested in trading him. Are you interested in the Bills trading with the Raiders for Devontae Adams? 803-0550. Lines are wide open right now, so hop on. We'll get you in. Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports at 5. We'll get the update on what happened out at One Bills Drive today later on at 6 when Sal Capaccio joins us. But your calls right after this if you're game for it at 803-0550. Mike Shope is out sick today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
He's a pure rental. He has 2 years left on his contract after this year, but his salaries in those years are over $35 million, non-guaranteed. He's not seeing that money. So this year he's making 16.89. If you trade for him now, you'd have to pay him around $14 million for the rest of the year and have that much cap space. That number will go down by about $968,000 each week. If you trade for him the week of the deadline, you probably end up having to pay him about $10 million for the rest of the year.
That is Dan Graziano sort of laying out some of the framework of how some of the money may work on Devontae Adams' contract. Big question I have. We'll get right to phones here at 803-0550. Does trading for him, in order to make the trade work, are you going to have to commit to him for 3 years, 4 years? Like, give him a big new bundle? Because like Graziano is saying there, his none of that the next 2 years. Like, you go to his SpotTrack page, which I did yesterday before we talked to Mike Jannetty, who runs that site and owns it. You see, $44 million is the cap figure for 25 and 26. Oh my God, I can't trade for this guy. But there's an out. None of that's guaranteed. So you, this is where like what does a team acquiring him really want? I would want myself at 32 years of age, if I were going to acquire him, I would want to rent him for this year and not at that age pay a market rate top flight number one receiver contract out to Devontae Adams. There's some other team that might, I mean, at his age, there's got to be a small pool of teams that would really want to do that. But someone might want to, and that might end up being what, you know, what pushes that team to make the trade if he's agreeable. I mean, we're all seeing different reports. The Jets, the Saints are places he'd like to go. Makes sense. Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr. He went to Vegas to play with Derek Carr, and then the rug got ripped out from under him there. I think the money in the future could be cumbersome if it requires you to do a new deal with him. I'm not interested at all in doing that. If I could rent him, if I feel I need it in a few weeks, that's a conversation I'm willing to have. I am not interested at all in doing a deal and extending him with a big, splashy, fancy new contract. No way. I'm a hard no. 803-0550 is the number. Zach is first up this segment. Hi, Zach. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, Chris. Nice talking to you here. Yeah, I'm with you on this Adams thing. Like, if it's a rental, for sure. I mean, I don't see why not. I think you can only improve the team, but you know, and first and foremost, like, if they're winning games, then, like, I don't care how they're doing it. I don't care who's eating or snacking or whatever. It's, as long as you can keep it going and it's sustainable. But the one thing that's kind of been on my mind since this everybody eats mentality has risen here is, you know, to what extent does it need to, I guess, for lack of a better term, succeed in order for them to not want to add something next offseason? And I don't mean usually, like, looking that far ahead just because, you know, so much can change. But, like, if they can get somebody like a Higgins or a Metcalf in the offseason next year, that to me would be incredible. But, like, does that mean if something like that happens, does that mean the receiving core is not, you know, going well? You know what I'm getting at here?
Yeah.
Like, that's something that's really been on my mind. It's such a strange spot because I want them to succeed. I want to see this kind of play out. But at the same time, like, well, I think they're going to need somebody like significant next year. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hear you, Zach. That's why, again, I like a couple things. You said everybody snacks back to me again today, and it's like the fourth or fifth person who's done that. And I need to be clear. Like, I am not claiming ownership of coining that phrase. That was Mike. He's not here today. I'm sure he'd love to be hearing it being used as liberally as it's being used, but that is not my phrasing. It's in the room. Like, it's, you know, our names are on the sign, but it was Mike with everybody snacks. Anyway, so there's that. Yeah, I think, you know, this year, that's why, to me, the first great experiment of Josh Allen's career is what we're smack dab in the middle of here. We're not even in the middle. I mean, we just started. We're four games in. And I think how that goes will inform what they feel they need to do or not do next year. If it you know, blows up in their faces and we get through a couple of more games and they're either combing the waiver wire for bargains or calling the Raiders or calling the Browns or calling whomever has a receiver that could help, then, you know, then you've got your answer, right? That they needed to do something. The temptation I have right now, and it's not overwhelming, right? Like, I'm not dug in to the point where you can't, you know, topple me all. I'm not going to die on this hill. But right now, I'm inclined to want to see the great experiment through. At least at this point, I am. And, you know, that could change. A few more weeks of information here come in and, you know, the Bills suffer, you know, need to throw, can't throw, guys aren't open, Allen's struggling. You know, we saw some evidence of that in Baltimore, but that's it. Everything else has kind of been pretty easy for them. Even the opener, when they needed to throw it, they got where they needed to go in that game and got their lead and then kind of sat on it. Could have been a little more aggressive at the end, in my opinion, but nonetheless, right? So I don't think I have enough information yet to say, other than anecdotally, which is, well, they've had digs and great teams have great players and great receivers, therefore you should need one. The great experiment is, let's find out if that's right or not. Do I need to spend $30+ million a year on T. Higgins or DK Metcalf if they were to, you know, be in our orbit here, or Davante Adams or Stephon Diggs? Or can I kind of get by adding Curtis Samuel to my offense and drafting Keon Coleman and having Mac Hollins on the field all the time because he blocks and he's, you know, barefoot and doesn't eat with utensils? I'm sure that's not why he's on the team. I'm just, you know, commenting on some of the quirky personality traits that people seem to find endearing about the guy. Nonetheless, you're going to find that out. That's what the great experiment is. And, you know, obviously if the Bills get the answer they're seeking, which is we don't have to be in that business, well, then you can pay your center more and you can pay your pass rushers and you can keep better corners and all of it. I mean, it just stands to reason you'd be the beneficiary of having an offense that can still be a driving force on a Super Bowl caliber contending team and not be paying the market rate for that top shelf receiver. Man, that's like a cheat code. And, you know, and every year will not be the same in this respect. But generally speaking, I think if you ride this out and are successful, you've got an answer that can be of great value to you. You know, the risk is that you do that and, you know, it's still, you still are held back. You still really need a number one in the playoffs against a really good team. What if I run into Baltimore again? You know, there's a lot of things that can undo it, but the overarching point here to me is they're trying to find out whether they need to live like that or not. And it is of great value to them, in my opinion, to find the answer to that. Brian is next up. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hi. So in regards to your question, long-term, absolutely not. I'm 31 years old. I'm totally on board with you. In terms of it's a rental, my question is, they're asking for a second-round pick and something else. What do you think the something else is? I think Amari Cooper is a better option, much cheaper. Probably don't have to give up a second-round pick. Well, you don't have to give up a second-round pick from. But long-term, no. And what do you think the other piece of the trade is? Because they want two pieces.
Okay, Brian. I think there's been some reporting that it's like a second and a fifth. I've seen, could a roster player be of some value in that respect, like in place of a fifth-round pick? Yeah, maybe, if you've got a spare part here. Someone brought up Kyer Elam to us yesterday as an idea here. And look, like that, he's not he doesn't have a first-round value anymore, despite being drafted in the first round just 3 years ago. I mean, need that be said, right? Does he take the place of a mid-round pick, a day-three pick in the draft? Maybe, at this point. So maybe that's a way you could avoid having to give up that day-three asset, you know, a fifth-round pick. But the nuts of it is going to be the second-round pick. And, you know, for a rental, again, because I'm not at all interested in doing something long-term with this player. But a rental, if the next few weeks unfold in a certain way, yeah, you could get my attention, but the you know, what's the downside? The downside is you're kind of in the business here of needing those guys to show up and matter for you right away or very soon, certainly while they're on their rookie contracts. Cole Bishop is an example of this. Second-round pick, like, I'm excited about this player. I'm not sure I want to put my name on. I'm excited to see him have to be one of their starting safeties. And we could be there right now with Taylor Rapp in concussion protocol. Like, that could be where we end up. And whether he's ready or not, you know, it might not matter anymore. He might just be the next guy in line and they have to do it. But you're going to need guys like that to show up and play for you and start for you and matter for you as you continue to pay your right tackle and your left tackle and your quarterback and your edge rushers and, you know, all of it, right? So that asset could be very hard to part with, in my opinion. So that's, you know, that's the formula you're working with there. But, you know, the second piece of it to me should not be, it's not a deterrent to making the deal. The nuts of it is, do I want to pay a second round pick? And look, that's out of the wrapper here with this. You know, this story is only really a day old, at least officially, since we know Adams has made it known he'd like to be traded and that the Raiders are willing to facilitate said trade. So that only has been a day. The initial reporting indicates they're looking for that, a second and a fifth. We'll see. You know, the market might not dictate that they can get that. And that's why I think, like, certainly I wouldn't expect any team, the New York Jets, even with fancy Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, he and Adams having been teammates, I don't even think they're paying that price right now. They might when they get to November 5th, when the trade deadline is, but I think this will take a while. Because teams are going to balk at that price initially and maybe end up not even ever paying it. So it's hard to know sitting here right now. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 803-0550. More of your calls on the way. A couple of lines open if you want to hop in there on them. We got room for you, and we'll make sure we get to you before the top of the hour when Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports joins us to talk about all of this, the Bills through 4 weeks, and more. That's all ahead here. Your calls, though, right on the other side here at 803-0550. Mike is off today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR. Hey, contest time. Be caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. And you will win yourself a pair of tickets to see comedian Mr. Derek at Rob's Playhouse Theater on Saturday, October 5th. Hey, that's Saturday. Mr. Derek was recently featured on the Joe Rogan Experience. He's one of the fastest rising comedians in the country. And we have your chance now to win a pair of tickets. Visit robsplayhousetheater.com for details. Again, caller 5 right now, 716-221-4947. That's how you go about that. Chris is first up this segment. Hi, Chris. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Yeah, hello. I just want to talk about the Bills and that they're having a good season starting out. It's no time to panic. First game they've been blowing out in 42 games, I think that's something to be proud of. Being in McDermott seemed to, adjust the sails, figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need some health and less injuries. And I'm sure things will go fine. And they'll keep trying to get that championship. I feel that way with this team. Got a good team going and a lot of good camaraderie.
All right, Chris, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, I don't sense, well, the guy earlier this hour, you could have gotten to panic. I mean, he was ready to go on just, the choices are wrong, get busy living or you're dying, that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't even want to accuse him of being panicked. He was passionate. I don't sense panic. And look, talking about, a trade for a future Hall of Fame wide receiver and that appealing to some fans, to me, is not indicative of panic. I mean, I think like the last couple of years when we got lost in the weeds talking about DeAndre Hopkins or Odell Beckham Jr., while Diggs was still on the team, like, was that panic or is that just, I want them to build the best beast that they can. And this year it's testing that because they no longer have that number one wide receiver and they're trying this different formula. And, we know that the other thing worked at least to the extent that you were a contending team and near the top of the conference and Allen was an MVP candidate and, four straight division titles. I mean, you know the resume, right? And it was with a certain kind of team, with certain personnel, and that, of course, included a kingpin number one alpha dog. I should settle on one way to say that because I feel like I spit out every cliche there is to refer to these number one wide receivers. Maybe just a number one wide receiver will do. Mm-hmm. For the sake of conversation, don't be cute. Anyway, that was featured, and now it's not. And Hyde's gone, and Poyer's gone, and Morris is gone, and Tre'Davious White is gone, and Gabe Davis, too, by the way, if you want him, is gone, too. And so there's a lot of change, and is this going to work? That's not a panicky question. That's a real question. I don't know the answer. It's gone fine so far. I mean, they're 3-1. They're one of the highest scoring. I think they're second in the league in points scored so far. And that's with a 10-point outing last week in Baltimore. So I don't think it's definitely not time to panic, and I don't think talking about adding a receiver equates to panic at all. It's just, do I have enough to get past the Chiefs and the Ravens? And I don't know, the Bengals, if you want them. I mean, they're sitting there at 1-3, but they're there. They're a team that has had your number so far. So we'll see if that changes if they meet in the playoffs. They're not on the regular season schedule this year, the Bengals. See if the Bengals and the Bills both even make the playoffs. I mean, the Bills are off to a great start in that regard at 3-1. The Bengals not so much at 1-3, but they do have the Ravens this week. And I mean, a massive game for that division and really for the Bengals for their season. They closed it within a game of Baltimore. No, actually, they can tie them. They'd both be 2-3, right? Baltimore improved to 2-2 with the win over the Bills. So massive game in the conference and certainly in the AFC North. But yeah, I mean, it's not. I don't sense panic. It's a curiosity at the low end. At the high end, it's great player that might go to a rival. Go get him and let's go dance. that's it. Thanks for the calls. Appreciate it very much. We'll take some more in about a half an hour or so. But up next, Chris Trapasso, our buddy from CBS Sports, normally a regular during draft season, but we do like, as the season gets going, to periodically check in with Chris, and today is that day. So Chris Trapasso, straight ahead. Sal Capaccio still to come at 6 o'clock as well. Your calls, of course, interspersed in between. Mike Shope is off today. I am the Bulldog. You're listening to WGR.